Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
know, there's sometimes when that theme plays and it sounds like it's got a little more jump than other times, and this is one of those times, and that was the reason why I downloaded it as the show's theme. It definitely has some, how can I say, my man Mars say, some chili sauce behind it. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram. And as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASN Newsroom and the Assassins of the Black Athletes Plus Network. Doing damage as we pursue the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network. Trying to, how can I say, keep an eye on my man Reggie, who's down there in our Richmond, Virginia, where we had some tragic shit happen. Some kid got shot at graduation. I mean, folks just lose their bunny rabbit blinking mind. And I can't figure for the life of me who, what, when, where, why this shit continues. But, well, it's past talking. They know what the fuck they're doing, and they know how fucked up it is. As I say that, I got my line mates with me, Tony McClain and Guy Norris Greg. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Congratulations are in order as Gary put a really solid column on the site. Everybody should go check it out. He's more than just another pretty face. Kicking right. And he put some good stuff out there for edification. Just wanted to say thank you. And good evening, Tony. Tony, can you hear us?
Michael, the reason why I wrote the article,
yes,
is that yesterday another shooting,
mm-hmm,
at graduation.
Yeah, I know.
The 270th shooting in this country.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to stop. John Moran is foolish for doing what he did, okay? He's trying to drive the police. No more. I am done.
Well, I agree with you with the no more, but you know what? What's really foolish is the fact that this has gone on all over the place, you know, no specific area, but it's all over. You can wake up one day and it's in Denver. The next day, it's in Florida. You get my point. It's everywhere. And in the case of John Morant, this is something we went over Monday. Shout out to my man Ricky Hampton, as we were on the African American athlete BASN Newsroom was represented there, and we talked about the fact that Morant was supposed to be the successor.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff implying that Morant could have been the next standard bearer for the league.
Yep.
But he's still on some shaky shoulders.
Yep.
And really,
John Morant was going to be the new face of the National Basketball Association.
Well, sometimes.
And Michael, what gets me mad is this. He was told that he was going to be the vase.
What are you doing? There are times you can be afraid of success. And there are times where success can be afraid of you. And I don't know whether he would run from it, but he had enough sense not to run toward it. Fear of being the league standard bearer may have saved his life, but it may also have created a huge chasm for him. Because look at the standard he has to uphold. You know, LeBron has held it down for 20 years as the cash cow. Exactly. Giving that play of move. He's done all this and done this with a certain elan. He understands the unspoken responsibility. He's put the game in a positive light. He's given everybody a chance to make the money that he was asked to do. He was given money, he said, make us rich. He's made us rich. He's made us, them, all that rich. And what did he get for it? The grudging acknowledgement from the league. It's not that they're ecstatic about it. In a way, some folks are resentful that LeBron got as far as he did.
No, they are mad. They are mad because, this is the thing. What John Morant did is what they wanted LeBron James to do. LeBron James was so intelligent and so future vision. He knew that I can't be around with these guys. See, John wanted to be a cool guy with the boys. Sometimes you got to leave the boys alone because the boys ain't gonna help you.
Sometimes I'll also say to the boys, I gotta leave you alone. Don't give the boys the impression that there's a way to say, I'm going to hang on to your coattails and go wherever you want me to go.
Yep.
It just didn't happen. Morant was young enough to understand and old enough to know better. And is there a different way to say that? But I think you know what I mean. At 23, he should have been mature enough to see the signs. And you know the success in the league gave everybody the impression that it was just a matter of the next step that he'd carry on and do exactly what he did. Tony, are you there?
Michael, what Ja needed and he didn't get.
Yes.
Was a older person or older man or older woman to tell him, hey, chill out. Hey, you can't do this. When you're growing up, I was an SIU. I had a mother SIU, okay?
Yeah.
I can go to her and say, Mom, I need XYZ. That's the way the old school did it. The old school, you had a mother, right? You went to school. You had a school mother, right? I don't know what John did or not, but I'll tell you, he needed one.
Well,
because
we can talk
now, now John can be out of a job in 6 months.
Gary,
that's, I have a problem with that.
Gary, let's, you know, I get it. And again, the article is great. I'm actually in the process of putting it on the site. Let's not overdo this because, see, the thing is, John Moran can still, you know, he's 23 years old. Let me finish. Let's not, you know, do like what the a lot of mainstream media will do is just, you know, lock him up and throw away the key on a 23-year-old kid. It's, you know, yes, he's taken way too many bites out of the peanut butter and knucklehead sandwich. I think that,
you know,
Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, and Roy Orbison can all see that. That being said, we cannot bury this kid. Let me finish. The knee-jerk thing is, you can see, I've been talking with other brethren folk, and I guess there's, you know, the suspension is going to come down. There are some people that are speculating he may get a 2-year suspension. Now think about this.
Oh, man.
Let me finish. Ron Artest got 68 games. I don't remember what Kermit Washington got for the thing with Rudy Tomjanovich, which he almost killed him. You have to see, the reason why I think this is taking its time is because they have to have, you have to put precedence. Because, see, here's the thing. And, again, I don't say this to condone. If you're going to suspend him for being stupid, then there's a lot of guys in the NBA that should be sitting right next to him, if that's the case. And I get the thing that they wanna, that, you know, that they're trying to play to the advertisers or possibly future advertisers down the road. I get all that, but if you treat this like he's, and even in your, and you say it even in yourself in the article, this is not Kyle Rittenhour we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a stupid ass kid here.
Yes,
that's been
influenced.
But the difference here is that unlike Rittenhour, Rittenhouser, whoever. The thing is, this can still at some point, maybe not on this very day, but Ja Morant is destined to be the face of the league at some point.
Right.
I think it's way too premature to lock him up and throw away the key. I'm just saying, see, the thing is, I think the reason why there's a whatever is that they have to, the NBA has to, even the Players Association, who may go along with a hammer type decision, has to realize you can't make a complete example of this kid for his actions.
Yes.
Again, stupid. You know, again, if we're going to judge people for being stupid, then there's some league officials, some league coaches, there's some players, there's some whatevers that are on the same thing. Again,
right about that.
And a lot of what's going on here is political backlash because of him being black and everything else. But that being said, there's just as much pressure on the NBA with this decision. Because let's say if they suspend him for a year, Gillis, Ron Artest didn't get it.
He didn't do anything.
It's a slippery slope because he didn't do anything, but yes, he did something stupid, and I get that. But the thing is, here's the thing that no one wants to say. There is just as much pressure on the NBA in this decision as it is with Moran in taking whatever the decision is.
You got to remember, when you had
the incident a few years back with Arenas and whatever, I forget how many. See, my thing is.
It was 50 games.
And to me, if he misses half a season, I'm good with that. Because, see, again, these guys were just stupid.
Yep.
They're just stupid.
Yep.
Now, you give – now, let's put it this way. If you give him more games than you gave Kermit Washington, Artest.
Yeah.
You will, no matter how much of a public relations whatever, even your most staunchest supporters will be like, that doesn't make any sense. And see, you've got to look now. They can't do the knee jerk thing like the NFL did with the Ray Rice thing, and then when they don't like the reaction, then hit him up again. They've got to get this right now. They're not going to get a do-over here. They have to get this right.
Everybody's watching.
They have to get this right. Again, there's just as much pressure on Adam Silver as there is Ja Morant in taking this thing. Because if they overdo it, they're going to, you know, I think they'll lose some fans. And it has nothing to do with how you feel about guns or what have you. I just think they'll look at it as he's making an example of a black kid. They have to get this right. Or they're going to be scrutinized just as much as Moran, maybe even more so if they don't get it right the first time.
Let me go to Jefferson or anybody here. Hold on a sec. Let me just go to Jefferson.
I've been thinking about this for a week, almost a week and a half about this. Ja Morant did it the first time, and he got 4 games suspension, right?
Yeah.
Now, if somebody gave me a 4-game suspension, I'm gonna think about doing it again. See?
Well, hold on, Gary. No, wait a minute. No. That's you. You're talking about a support system. Hold on. You're talking about a support system or lack of a support system.
Right.
We just made issue about LeBron that he would never get caught up like that. We have Professor Fred in the house. And in a totally unrelated thing that seems to be unrelated, I was watching Air last night on Amazon, a movie about how, you know, they Nike signed Michael Jordan and making money off the shoes, et cetera, et cetera. But pick up on this. They waited until the end of the movie, but Michael Jordan made $400 million off the sales of the shoe in the first year. I didn't know there were that many damn feet. You know, the fact that he made that much money shows you the scope of just how much money we are talking about. Remember, Michael was an inveterate gambler. They said in the movie that he was competitive. Competitive my ass. He was a gambler. He took gamblers' chances. He bet gamblers' money. He lost gamblers' money. But he signed that contract, and everybody bought those shoes, even Republicans, when they bought those shoes, they realized this is a whole nother level. And in spite of everything that happened to him, including his father being murdered, wink, wink, Fred, you know a little bit more about that than I do, what happened down in Pemberton County. But they gave him a franchise. Think about it. They gave him a franchise. That's how much money we're talking about. And John Morant excluded himself out even a piece of that. You know, LeBron parlayed his money into a lot of things. So school, benefits, perks for kids. He did things that benefited the league and himself. John Morant, what did he do? He waved the gun in the club, the dumbass. Gilbert Arenas, what did he do? He was going around with a gun, just doing stupid shit. The whole point is this got to a point of no return. And as far as the support system, whoever his hangers-on are or whoever runs with them, they're tainted. They're tainted because Morant is immature and stupid. And you can't fix stupid. Good, Professor.
And well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, first of all, Mike, since you and T-Mac are the more northern on the thread, why don't y'all go up there and do something about that fire up in Canada? Because we can see the smoke down here. And I'm about to be sick of it. We've had a fire out on the coast for 2 weeks, almost a month now, in the forest, and that smoke doesn't bother us, but we're getting smoke all the way from Canada. Having said that, the thing I started looking at with when it comes to Moran, first and foremost, he's a stupid 22-year-old or 23-year-old, whatever he is, age-wise. He's not 25. And
right.
We all remember how brilliant we were at those ages. Right about now is where he would be getting out of college, maybe a year plus. But he's still a stupid kid.
Yep.
He got hangers on. He does not have a support system as such. He has enablers. And what rule did he break? Because as far as I haven't read the Constitution of the NBA, but I've never seen a Constitution, I'll call it a stupid clause in anybody's contract.
There you go.
And see, look at what you're looking at here. For the most part, you got a young boy, a young black kid, support system, which they basically go for because they don't want him to be surrounded by people who is going to cost him money. Okay? Case in point. Remember this young man that plays for a team in Baltimore? They didn't want his mom as an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Looking out for his business.
And look how that played out.
Duh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and look at it's the same kind of parameters I put on the thing when I was asked about, should Biden run again? Hell no. We got too many old rich white people that stuck around too long as it is. Go home, play with your grandkids. Same thing here. You got a bunch of rich white folks putting all this money on this young black kid and growing up in my day, 25, until you're 25 or better, you ain't no man because, yes, he's making money, but that's it. He's making money. He ain't making no sense. His dollars ain't making no sense, shall we say.
Thank you. Yeah.
And because of that, we're quite likely looking at another one of those young kids who went and played basketball for X number of years and retired. And within, if he doesn't retire broke, and see, I look at it this way: if you owe more than you, if you owe more than you you got coming in, you're broke. Okay.
True.
And yep. we're looking at a situation here where, with all likelihood, this boy gone. Retire broke in just a few years, or they'll kick him out, or he'll be somewhere playing in either Europe or guy I ran across a familiar name a few days ago, and this young man is playing basketball, I think, in Thailand or out of Thailand.
Right.
And you know every so often, every other day, you run across these videos of the greatest flops, you know, and I'm thinking, no, he, I don't, you know, and I was looking at, what's his name, Odom, out of Ohio State. Odom
right.
wasn't a flop. Odom got injured.
That's right.
It had nothing to do. His body failed him. And go down this list. I mean, there's one. I mean, I almost thumped my phone one night because it was late night. And I was couldn't sleep, and I'm watching this stuff. No, you know, again, another little white boy judging some black kid, and he's, you know, the five greatest flops is the big man, five greatest flops.
Around.
You know, think about it. Did Pearl Washington really fail flop per se, or was he put in a situation where? He did not fit.
He couldn't succeed. Exactly.
And none of that's looked at. Moran is in a situation where he does not fit. And he's not going to fit as long as he has those screwballs around him. Again, Magic, you know, truth be known, you all in the Yankee country, I'm down here where Jordan grew up and all this kind of stuff. Okay?
Yeah.
It ain't like he screwed up more than once, okay? More than once. As a matter of fact, more than once in 1 year. There's several situations
okay.
he got. He was able to buy his way out, and eventually
sure.
he surrounded himself to a point where, he actually could get to where he is now, and
mm-hmm.
you know, he has helped some people. Along the way, you know, because I remember the situation that the big dude on ESPN. Anyway, he was
Shaq.
You know, instead of not Shaq, the other one, the other lard. But anyway, but he told him, you know, instead of, $3 million, take $1 million in cash, and put the other in stock options and that kind of stuff, right? Giving wise
right.
counsel. But to get to the point of giving the wise counsel, homeboy gambled away more than he was making otherwise. He, you know, he probably lost $10 million in a year of that,
yes,
whatever he got.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and there was a year he made, was it 420?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was making more and more. He was making money so fast that the white folks couldn't even count how much he was making for them. But they
mm-hmm.
but when the screws were put to him about his misdeeds, they counseled him and they covered it up. They don't
yeah.
do that with everybody, and it's too hard now to do it anyway, because as we said numerous times, anybody got a phone, got a camera. Everybody. Everywhere you go, like it or not, I work in the library just about every day, and they can tell me what time I came in, where I went while I was in, and when I left. Bingo. And this is a library. You know, the lady went up on one of the people on the staff for yelling her kids. Ma'am, let me show you your kids. This is why we don't want parents leaving the kids. We want the parents to stay in eyesight of your child. Well, I got something else to do. Now, you know, come on. And he is, this young man is irresponsible at most, 22 years old, and there is no true support system. But we give him seminars. You're giving seminars to people who probably didn't, are one and done, which means he only had, he only had to keep his grades up one semester. You know, this is what you're dealing with. There is no maturing process.
That needs to change. That needs to change.
No, because we've got to make the league better. Now, I still go back to, I want to say it was John Wooden, but I've heard numerous coaches, you know, if you get a kid who can actually play at the college level as a freshman, you have gotten a marvel. But see, in so many cases, when you I remember when we used to do a tournament here during the Christmas holidays, I got to see a lot of top flight guys play as high schoolers. And I remember one kid from Augusta, Georgia. I think the next tallest kid was 6'3", 6'4", and they had this freshman kid that was about 6'5", 6'6". Well, the big kid was 6'9". He had all the moves and all everything was good. He just had he made bad choices when it came to his friends. And he didn't sort his friends out. He let them seek him out. And at the end of the day, he ended up getting hurt. And eventually he got killed. And and he was from one of those Augusta schools where, was it Lucellini? It's where a lot of the military kids go.
Okay.
From Fort Gordon. So, you know, those kind of schools typically, I know the ones here where we have the school with the most military kids tend to be better because there's a level of discipline there.
Right.
That's not in a, I remember when they deployed in 93, 94. The social services was after this couple. And, you know, when they went to investigate, they found out their 16-year-old son, who had just gotten his driver's license before they deployed, he was the one who wrote their bills. He paid their bills. He took care of the house for them. And they were like, oh, wow, he's so mature. Yes, he was mature.
You hit on the keyword right there, maturity. See, the league was spoiled. The league had 20 years of LeBron handling not just his business, but the league's business. He knew what the parameters were, spoken and unspoken, and how to act like you know. He did that. He did all that. And with very little coaxing, he stayed out of trouble. You're asking for somebody to follow that. And I don't know who Morant's agent was or is, but nobody ever approached him. Because if they did, and they said to Ja, okay, look, we're looking to have an ad campaign, blah, blah, blah. There's no way if he's got any kind of sane brain, he's going to turn down serious money to be the next chapter in the league saga.
Michael, the league, that's the Basketball Association, are spoiled brats. It's what I'm going to say, okay? You guys lucky with five 19-year-olds. You got lucky, right? Those five 19-year-olds were adult enough to not move around. You need to have a forever. No,
that's
always
not
one knucklehead.
No.
Always one.
Gary, I respectfully disagree. It's not luck. It's home training.
there's certain things you knew coming in as to what you can and can't do, and it's not what you do, but how you do it. And LeBron did it the right way.
Kevin Garnett. Kobe Bryant. LeBron James. Allen Iverson. I mean, come on, man.
They did it the right way.
Well, you know, the thing I always look at when I look at some of these professional or even athletes at the college level, you know, I remember when I met Shannon Sharpe, you know, with all his, and now he talked pretty much like you hear him now. Every time somebody else took a breath, he was saying something. But there was a level of, and you hear him talk about this guy that coached him, the guy that told him, hey, if you're good, they'll find you. Okay, the guy that told him that, he addressed coach, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, all that kind of stuff, right? That's that home training you're talking about. And those are the kind of things, I look at a lot of players over the years, and how they address their mothers and fathers. Because there's a coach, used to be in the CIAA. That was one of his. You didn't say yeah, no to reporters because. And when I was in school, Mary Garber, we used to call her the little cute white lady. When she was around, you didn't say yeah, no. It was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And it had nothing to do with her being white. It had to do with the fact that she was older. She was old enough to be our grandmother. But you know, when she asked for you to come, she did not go into the dressing room area. She was there. There was a place out in the gym where the team met, and when she called for you, you went out there and you addressed, you know, whatever question she had, you know, and those kind of things. Because them old school coaches, Big House, you know, Big House had his rough edges, but you did the right thing. Because when you hear Stephen A. Smith talk about when you talk about Big House games, hey, he was as big as they said he was, if not bigger. He was as mean as they said he was, if not meaner. But at the same time, he had a heart of gold. And he made things, and I know a lot of guys and girls that he coached or even had in his classes. You know, you just, there's just a certain way you address them as an instructor, and there's a way you didn't address him as not only as an instructor but as a man.
I got Patrick and I got Richie in the house. Can you guys hear me?
Live and living color. Am I black enough for you?
Yes, indeed.
Hey, you got that.
Reggie, I feel regard to what happened down in Richmond and stuff, and it's just insane the level of toxicity that is emanating in this country from the shit with the gun. It hasn't stopped. And it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon.
Well, first of all, gentlemen, good evening. The sad thing about it is that more information has come out that the young man who was gunned down was a homeschooler. He didn't even go to the school. Allegedly, he and the individual, the perpetrator, had worries at the graduation. The individual went back out to his car, got a gun, came in, and commenced his senseless act. So that's what we've been told.
And gave him and gave a gun to the police officer.
But the sad thing about it, Winston Sears is not even worthy of being called a lieutenant governor. She goes on and says that you don't need no parole. This was gang related. No, it was not gang related. You're going to make a
song. Oh,
because that's the playbook. That's number one.
How did she just
number two,
off like that?
She screamed. Well, you know, Mike, if you check out my YouTube page, I posted what she said, and she's getting heat. And this is the same woman that posted in an election with M16 rifle strapped around her neck.
Yep.
Same woman that posted.
Is she a black woman? Is she black?
Unfortunately, she's
no
disrespect to Professor, but she's a black Republican, and she serves her masses very well. Professor excluded, you know. And the sad thing about it is that, and the sad thing about it, 8 months ago, gentlemen, there were 4 shootings in the city of Richmond. She was cool and calm, said, I need to serve my constituents, and I need to go down without any bodyguards. Go down to the inner city where this is happening and let me see what I can do, what I can help. 8 months later, fast forward to yesterday, she's a lunatic screaming and hollering. It was so bad that the media turned the cameras off and walked away from her. That's how bad it was.
You know, when your real self will show, unfortunately, when in a crisis, you find out who people really are, unfortunately.
That's true that.
Yeah, but the sad thing about it, you had people running out of the Ultra Stadium, and I got to give VCU police credit. VCU, ex-military, and a lot of them had the same powers as state police, they jumped on it.
Well, Reg, not to be morbid, but they're used to this. Remember, they had a shooting not too many years ago, remember? So...
Yeah.
Fortunately or unfortunately, they're sort of, you know, they're trained for this. So, but again, you know, the sad thing is, it sort of speaks to where we are that the VCU police sort of like this was sort of a been there done that deal.
Yeah, and you want to hear something crazy? Where VCU basketball team play at the Siegel Center, the county schools, which is predominantly white, had celebrations going on, and they didn't know nothing that happened. They had 5 graduations going on back to back, no problems at all. Down there in the hood, as they call it. No, actually, where it's located is right in the middle of VCU. So it's not in the hood. It's just the trail center. You can know the monster, basically, where the city schools come, which is a smaller venue for their graduation.
Well, see, that's therein lies a lot of the problem here. And it's not a problem because, see, instead of really finding out the thing, or finding out what the deal is and what, you know, the who, what, where, when, why, and how, people have knee-jerked it into where you say, oh, it's gang-related. If anybody, put it this way, if you've ever seen the movie Gang-Related with Tupac and James Belushi, you'll get an understanding of how silly and vicious this, you know, this kind of stereotyping is. And what's sad is you have another black person that buys into that stereotype because when the shooting at VCU, did anybody ever say it was gang related?
When you had the shootings
at Columbine, did they ever say gang related?
No.
Nope.
So when you had the shootings in Florida at the Florida school, did they say it was gang related?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, Winston Sears is a one trick pony, and if I'm nothing, I set her ass down and said, you need to get the Kamala Harris treatment. Just go hide somewhere and don't say nothing. Just stay out. You know, we don't want to see you or talk to you. Just put her in a room and let her read emails all day because she didn't do herself any justice with her ignorant comments. But I got to say to Patrick real quick, I know we're talking about the shooting, but explain to me, Patrick, how all of a sudden, when Honorable Louis Farrakhan wanted to drop about $2 billion into the inner city with Gaddafi, all of a sudden this good old money from the Saudis come in with the golf club and the white collar boys, and the State Department ain't say shit about it. Did I miss something?
Let me give a little background.
Who benefits from the influx of money?
Let me give a little background.
It depends on where the money going.
Yeah. Let me get a little background about that. All right.
Help me out, brother.
I'm going back to my next days where the CEO is to say everything works in a vacuum, right. Which means, you know, there's something going on. It's a matter of time when it's going to happen. And that guy that said that to me was the best corporate executive I've ever worked for. And it shows in the fact that his children, his son, Eric Spoelstra, his father, John Spoelstra, everything was in the background. Quiet and cool as can be. And why I say that is because, you know what, I want to refer back to what I said about the Friday afternoon cocktail, the Saturday morning, Monday morning call, the by the end of the week you got the meeting in the conference room, and then by the afternoon you're at the golf course. Okay, well, let's look at it this way. Okay, we're going back to at the end of 2020, right? A guy named Jared Kushner, who, by the way, worked for the former so-called president, Donald Trump. It's his son-in-law. As he leaves, he gets a $2 billion loan. $2 billion loan from the Saudis. Okay, after they killed somebody, all the stuff they had, okay. All right, and then here comes the fight between, the competition between the PGA and Tiger Woods. Your boy Tiger Woods, Tigger my nigga, turns down $800 million. Well, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. We got to stay in with it. Okay. And behind that comes the fact that they've been negotiating. Liv has been negotiating all the time. By the way, Liv had a golf tournament here in Jersey, and that's where it starts at. Kushner. Mm-hmm. To his father-in-law, Trump, who had the Live Dagon golf tournament here in Jersey. If you don't think this ain't coordinated with them guys, you're living in la-la land.
Yeah. It was just a matter of time because, from what I can gather, it just seems like the PGA said, how much y'all want? And, this was a Ted DiBiase moment, basically.
No shit.
And yeah, because think about it. This was an even faster merger. Think about this, guys. This was a faster merger than the AFL and the NFL because the LIV already had the TV contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Mickelson was this generation's version of Pete Gogolak. Now they didn't have a Joan Namath, but they had enough guys and enough influence where basically the PGA could say, what you want to do? Because see, think about it, they didn't even tell the players. The players basically had to find out from like Twitter. And the man sitting, to quote my boy Robin Harris, found up from the man sitting next to the man sitting next to the man sitting next to the man. That's how they found out about this because this was the ultimate power move because it was, because see again, this is the billionaire boys club, and you're only a half glass of grape Kool-Aid away from making a deal.
Tony, let me add this. Let's be real, guys. Let's break it down. That's not the BS. Ford's connected with Saudis. Amazon's connected with Saudis. Right?
Mm-hmm.
27 major corporations are connected with the Saudis, including the military. So what are they doing in their spare time? Thank you very much.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. They gave up tiddlywinks years ago, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
To say the least.
So, gentlemen,
just as an add-on to that, the Saudis have for a year, let's put it this way. Did anybody notice how fast Okay, this whole thing about golf came out yesterday, but hanging in the closet somewhere was also this announcement. The Saudis are going to reduce oil production by a million barrels per day. Was that anyone who heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who don't know, the Saudis have trained their military, especially the armor guys, right here, about 20 miles away from where I live, and they go out, they do the cannons as well as the tanks and whatnot, the Bradleys.
I said, so the military,
they go
100% correct.
Yeah, I mean, and see, the railroad that they bring these things out to ship them by ocean, to go down to Charleston or over to Virginia to ship them out, runs about 300 yards, maybe less than 500 yards from where I go to sleep every night. And see, it's about time. If they were coming out tonight, they would be coming out about another 20, 30 minutes because he's coming out a little bit after 10. Because by that time, everything's kind of cool. And most of the railroad runs through the hood. And when they get to the downtown area is usually empty around 9 o'clock. So the train goes up, and there's a long train of flat cars went up Monday. It takes about 2 days to load them all on and secure them. And then they'll bring them out, take them out, and then go down and they go. And see, when the train comes from Port Liberty, which was renamed last week, when the train comes from out there, it has to go through downtown to set for the main rails, which means there's a train that's about 2 miles long going through downtown. It goes down and wraps itself around the downtown area, then backs into the yard. And, you know, I just thought it was like watching a good car shop. All of a sudden, you know, you got PGA, and Lyft, and whatever that golf stuff.
Lyft,
oh, by the way, you know, was it BTW? We're gonna shut down part of our production capacity for the next until about September.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, for the United States, the gas prices go up around about the 1st of May. Can go down in September.
Mm-hmm. And Fred, here's the trick. What gets me and what pissed me off yesterday, everybody saying, oh, we know folks are not going to like it, but we thought it's something that we had to do. Really? I know one thing. I know a bunch of people pissed off. Them 9/11 people, they ain't happy at all.
Oh, no.
Them families, they ain't happy at all.
I do not blame it.
That's going to be a problem.
Well, you know, it goes back to something we've been talking about on here before about this, rewriting or miswriting or misquoting history. Some people have forgot. There was 3,000, roughly 3,000 between the plane that went down in Pennsylvania and the people in the towers. Well, guess what? Them people still living.
Mm-hmm.
Them people still out there. And things like this, they set aside. I mean, you don't even want to call the police because you got to use 911.
That's right.
You know, that's how deeply embedded this is. And if this is a slightly different subject, but I had to correct some people at church. They were talking about certain things. I said, well, you know, about mental health issues. I said, well, you know, the church, back during the Ronald Reagan days, they know three ways backwards. Oh, we can cut by reducing mental health activities. They made it so it wasn't even profitable to go into the profession and made the ones in the profession get out. They turned to include a lot of military guys, they turned them loose on the streets. And guess what? now all of a sudden we don't have enough people to manage mental health. We don't have enough people going into the profession to keep it, keep it viable. How did that hurt? Well, it was the church folks who protested the most about that. They saw that as a soft spot to hit, because if you got mental issues, you're not going to complain about voting and all this kind of stuff. You know, saying the church was supposed to be, you know, it's a spiritual thing. Okay, it's spiritual. That's your job.
Here's my question, Professor. Do you really think financially, because as much as this man, I loathe him, Donald Trump know what the ham sandwich is going on, because he's been in the meeting with foreign dignitaries, and he knows where the money is, whether we want to call him buffoon, treason, or whatever. And I'm just wondering, with the backlash that this guy has had, and he's still not even in jail, what's really going to happen to the Gulf? Because I really don't see that many people have been protesting, but I see them getting fat, happy, and rich, and all they got those TV contracts.
The TV contract is going to be killing them. The TV contract is already in negotiation.
They don't give a fuck if ain't nobody at the golf course. They getting paid.
Wait. Look at it this way. If Tiger Woods turned down $800 million and he still ticked, you think they're not going to try to compensate him in some way to have him back to make this thing work? Hell to the yes, they are.
He can barely walk now. He's gonna be a smoker. He can barely walk.
That doesn't matter. Listen, you're right. He can't walk. What they said a few months ago, that you know he was probably wouldn't play anymore because he can't have a golf cart. You can't use a golf cart when you're out on the greens and so forth. Well, no, you can't. But him showing up is worth a whole. People would show up and say, I saw Tiger.
There it is.
There's Tiger. Look at Tiger. The only thing that would stop that, the way it's going, is if the next look he has, he gets killed. Remember that whole situation with him mysteriously running off the hill and off the road where he's been driving every day.
And this is what happened. Fred Ray, all Tiger dudes got to show up. It enhances the money. If I'm a salesman, I'm going to make a killing. Because
it's better than an appearance fee. He doesn't have to. He doesn't even have to stroke a golf club. It's a whole lot of quid with no pro and no quo, because he know he got to go. All he gets is a short stake in the plate.
On the
Major League Baseball, one of the last couple of weeks on Fox. They had this team from New York that was playing, and one of the things they were talking about was, and I want to say it was Reggie Jackson. He said, well, I show up at certain games and blah, blah, blah. But one of the things that people go to those games for is they know that there's a section up there, if some people want to go to sit in the box where they can party and all that kind of stuff in private. But on certain days, these people sneak, go ahead, show up.
That's right.
And these old people say, well, miraculously, there's a place they go stand, and people come by, stand around, and whereas you would probably get $10 a pop for a picture, they get hundreds of dollars per pop.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And all they got to do is show up.
And, Mike, here's what I think when this is going to happen, because of the physicality of Tiger Woods' demise and to play. He might play a round or two, but I believe once this thing flushes out, if they're giving Tom Brady $337 million to commentate, you think They won't do that for Tiger to compensate his loss of $800 million?
You ain't kidding. They're printing money.
Come on, bro.
It's like they got to be kidding me. They're printing money. And nobody's going to complain because everybody's getting paid. It's a matter of a bunch of mediocre white guys getting more money than they ever would get to play a game that they kind of can play.
And with all the corporations and all the corporations that are attached to that, to the Saudis and what that means, are going to be there because they know it's going to be the place to be. And I don't care. It ain't got nothing to do with patriotism. They can complain all they want, but they're going to be there.
That's right. That's right. It's all revenue streams. And all that matters to them is that with this merger or whatever, the head of the PGA, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. You got a bunch of white guys who are going to get rich. And some of them can play. The others can't play. And they don't care because the ones that can't, they're going to get paid anyway. And it's like, thank you, Jesus, because all they care about is the fact that it's there. That revenue stream is there. They weren't thinking about these things before. They were thinking about, well, gambling's here and football's getting money and basketball's getting money, et cetera, et cetera. Now golf, you know, you can bet on individual players.
And Mike, think about this. The outrageousness, particularly if it relates to the people who have been affected by the Saudis' political and backdoor aggression to their own. Now, watch this out. Check this out. If you're going to be upset about, you're going to let that slide, but if a brother kneel about saluting the flag, come on.
Hey, Pastor, here's my question. Next time a reporter is found with his head and body parts missing, and because he wrote a story that they didn't like, are they going to brush that off?
We'll see what happens.
Who's the reporter?
It depends on who's the reporter.
And if it's Joe Blow, bye.
Yeah.
He's lost in the sand.
Yeah. The ramifications of this, like I said, in the words of John Spolcher, it works in the vacuum. We're going to see how the vacuum is going to expand.
We're not talking about burgeoning markets anymore. You don't have to. Streaming is allowed for everybody's money to get in the mix. As I was saying to Patrick earlier this evening, I saw Air, the story of how Michael Jordan got signed by Nike on Amazon.
Yeah.
And even though they tried to romanticize the process and make an anti-hero out of Sonny Vaccaro, the bottom line was when the little fine print showed up in the credits, Michael Jordan made $400 million. Did I stutter? Million.
Oh, no. Not at all.
In the first year off the shoes. Think about all the times you heard about how stores were closed and people sat out and can't wait for the damn store to open. Think about
Michael.
Yes.
Let me go ahead and throw the sand in the ice cream, okay?
Yep.
Republicans buy shoes too. And go ahead.
And Mike, I add to it.
That was when I first got into the league in the front office. I'll say
that's
this.
Crazy.
The $400 million that you talk about, that's on the books. They're not talking about what's off the books.
Exactly. Now think about it. Michael is a gambler. They can say whatever they want to say about him, but he's a gambler.
He's not a very good one either.
Exactly. He's the best kind of gambler for suckers because he'll bet on anything. You know, he bet on cockroach races if he's sort of a mind to, if he was motivated enough to. All this money gets bet, and in spite of all this money that gets bet, in spite of his father getting murdered, in spite of other things that came into play, in spite of Barkley trying to run with him and match him dollar for dollar and couldn't compete, a franchise. Not just bought one, not signed over, given. He made the league that much money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can count, it's a scary amount. But they gave him a franchise. Even though it was the Bobcats, they gave him a fucking franchise. That's how much mm-hmm. money we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And also what he did, not only him, we talked earlier, Mike, it's the things that surrounded him that expanded. For instance, we talked about Falk, his agent. How many
yeah.
millions he make of him? Not only
exactly.
him, he had him. He had
Ewing,
Mourning. He had Ewing. I mean, because
mm-hmm.
I see him.
They had
the news
about beef between Patrick and Jordan. They're business partners for all intents and purposes. So,
yep.
who, you know,
yep.
as long as and remember, Dean Smith and John Thompson were good friends.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But and it was all aligned. Again, like you said, the money streams started to go. And you know something else? The networks changed the profile of how the game was sold. And that's what I know
yeah.
about. That I saw in
mm-hmm.
front of my eyes how the game was sold. Because you know it was. We all know back that the games were on tape delay. And eventually it got to be where it could be live, but to the dimension to where the viewers, the eyeballs, wanted to see Jordan and wanted to see how the league had expanded, it totally changed. He totally changed.
Yeah.
So you're right. They had to pay him back big time.
They started playing Matador defense, so anybody
yeah.
could run through.
Yeah, yep, true.
A five-foot shot, that's how they came up. Because I remember, I think it was Pearl and Frazier. You know, we didn't think about going into no five-footer. If we didn't have a layup, that was the, hey, you pull back. Because
yep.
for whatever reason, you knew better than to disrespect the big men. But they've done away with the big men. They shoot three-pointers now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, like you said, when you saw, yeah, I got to see it, which is interesting. Unfortunately, well, I think Mike changed a little bit some stuff in terms of who was marketing for what he did for Spike. I mean, the whole thing just, man, it came up every 5 minutes something was changing, but to the betterment of the league.
Well, there were some new mindsets brought in because they had to go back and figure out where. Instead of all these geniuses that they had, and I don't use that term loosely, but you had good people in the league, but it got to be more about glitz and glitter than it was about reality.
Yep, because that sells. It's sexy. Sexy sells. Unfortunately, that's the reality. Sexy, even now, sexy sells. Yeah, so, but it was something to see. Again, I got to see it. I haven't seen it. I want to see it. Where the whole thing, I've seen the highlights, but I got to see it. But you're right, Mike. You're right. It was good. Mike, I want
to
hit you with something real quick, man. Talking about hitting with something. Reggie, this is for you. Reggie, you there, Reg?
Reggie jumped out for a minute. I'll hold up when Reggie comes back. We're just talking about people being violated. Well,
yes.
You know, despite Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharpe have, you know, decided to, you know, part ways
right.
for a lot of different reasons. I found out from background people I know in the business.
Took them long enough.
It was a little bit more involved than what it is. I'm not going to litany of things. I mean, the guys have respect for each other, but it had to break up. But to the point to where, you know, Shen has a lot of loose time now, but unfortunately, Shen has to watch out because Shen does stuff a lot of stuff. Like I said, people shouldn't do. Shannon Sharpe's house got robbed. And $1 million of jewelry.
Hey, Patrick, well, that wasn't a robbery. That was a set. That was an inside job. Two-hour window. Come on.
What you got
$1 million of jewelry in your house? Now, go ahead, Patrick.
What you got $1 million in your house of jewelry for?
And designer bags. I'm still trying to figure out about them designer bags.
If I can quote my brother Reggie, wasn't a ham sandwich if he's doing with $1 million worth of swag.
I ain't trying to say Shannon is a double life, but they say designer bags. And I don't know men that be walking around with designer bags.
Well,
unless
I know
it's
some
designer for the dog.
What's the difference between what we saw, what we see here with Shannon Sharpe, who got to be 50 years old now because I watched him play in the late 80s, early 90s. So what's the difference between him after 30 years after leaving college doing something stupid like that and this young boy who was born since he retired?
You talking about Allen Iverson?
No. Don't think now. This. There was a situation where they got this beach thing that mostly just white folks go to.
Yep.
But he went
yep.
down and he crashed a $40-some-thousand Mercedes. Got out, took his stuff out, and called his brother and told him where the car was. And they said, you know, they said the record and all that kind of stuff. And his brother sent him another car. Okay.
This was Shannon Sharpe, brother?
Yeah. Sterling Sharpe.
Oh, Sterling
Sharpe. The other one who should be, if he had played anywhere besides
Green Bay,
he probably would have been in the Hall of Fame already.
Hall of Fame too. Oh, yeah.
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 He should have been in the Hall of Fame. That should have been.
Yeah.
Just like Otis Taylor, that's another story.
Yeah. Yeah. But that neck injury kind of shortened his career too. That bad neck injury.
Yeah. Yeah. So that. But the and not only Shannon Sharpe, three Cleveland Browns got ripped off last week. Got robbed. Three Cleveland Browns
was
got robbed.
Was
Daniel
Watson? It was
Miles Garrett. It was Miles Garrett and one of the wide receivers. But here's the thing. Why you go out 3:30 in the morning and a designer truck? Come on, man.
Rob me.
You asking for trouble.
Rob me, please.
Unless you're looking for something.
You know?
Thank you.
And the thing was, Miles took the high road. He said, what happened to me is not reflective of the city and the people from the town. It's individuals that took advantage of the opportunity. I respect that. But Miles, stop.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
y'all got to do better than this, man. Really, y'all got to do better.
Patrick, you remember the field goal kicking for the Baltimore Ravens? He made a wrong turn down by the harbor. And once mm-hmm. they found out he was a football player, he'd already got his ass whooped.
Yep. Come on, y'all.
You know, set up for all the money, for all the money that's being tossed about, for all the stories they'd like to throw up for the police blotter, for the papers and all that stuff, the players are going to have to realize something. I'm a fucking target. You know?
Amen.
Forget the fact that the fans supposedly love me. I'm a fucking target. And
thank you.
I ain't got nothing better to do but spend money at me. You know, I can't sit my ass home. I can't buy some ass if I have to and just bring it home or order it like sushi and have it just brought to the house. Stop.
Hey, Mike, that's what your agent for. Your agent's supposed to hook that up.
Yeah. And Mike, you know, a lot of people don't understand. Let's say 1970 where you can go out and kind of enjoy and get by with that. Because, this is 2023 where folks have a different mentality. They got people to help you to get through this. Boy, guys,
amen.
Stephen A. Smith got two bodyguards now. Come on, man.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Shit, he need more than that. He keep on. He gonna get the Chris Evans treatment. He can get the Jim Rome treatment.
No.
He keep messing with them basketball players.
No, he got
two. Kyrie Irving ain't nobody
about,
to be playing
with
them people behind him.
320. No, he got 2 6 about 320. It'd be a good fight. Yeah. But
I got one question. That 320 ain't gonna stop no lead.
Yeah, true too. But I mean, come on, guys. You got to be smarter than that, you know. And then another one. Shannon was showing off his house. The worst thing that you could do is try to do a what do you call it, Mike? A showcase of your house like they did on MTV.
No, he didn't.
This is a long time ago. He lived in the same place.
Oh, my God. Look, I don't even tell people the room that my dog stay in.
You can't fix stupid. That's building stupid. That's not fixing stupid. He's like, oh, yeah, here I am. I got all this shit.
Lord.
You know, don't front for me. Be smart, for Christ's sakes.
Know
how to keep it.
And Mike and the guys who produce these shows with these houses, what they do, the smart ones have that they'll go put some of their stuff in to act like they're looking live there.
Thank you.
Take it in some place in some community where you know if they see too many black folks, they're gonna be arrested and then go back home. But come on, y'all, please. I know how they produce that stuff, but you got to show all your stuff. Oh,
he learned the lesson.
And the thing with Miles Garrett, they had six guys held him up. Six guys.
Jeez. Hey, but the $1 million question, who dumb enough to work with Skip Bayless? Oh, that's right, that guy is Sean Salisbury. That's a has-been.
Hey. Guess who they think about picking next? I think it'd be even worse.
Who?
Your boy, Mike. Philadelphia Eagles.
Who?
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Who are you talking about?
Not McNabb. Shady McCoy.
Not McNabb. You
no,
talking
Shady.
About Cunningham?
Shady.
No,
yes. Shady McCoy.
He'll fit in perfect. He's service master very
I've
well.
Shady a couple of times.
He'll fit in perfect.
He's
is he going to interview Eric Bieniemy? Hey, let him interview Eric Bieniemy be the first guest. Nigga ain't shit. No, he ain't no coach. No. That's pretty much what he said.
I like Shitty, but Shitty ain't that good. Come on. Shitty's retarded.
He got the right name, Shitty. Yep, he got the right name.
But Skip said, it's my show and that was part of the problem. Because Shannon wanted to have more say-so because the ratings weren't bad.
He said, with that in mind, there need to be more, a little bit more equity in terms of how we produce it. And Skip said, no, I'm producing this. That's why they...
Well,
and see,
Shannon knows what the fuck he's talking about, and Skip doesn't.
I mean, yeah. Look, you look at the credentials. It's like, compare resumes. Did Skip ever play? Fuck no.
No.
All
they can bring Charles Barkley because Charles want to whip his ass anyway.
and Mike, the bad thing about it, was the very thing I've been saying for the last 4 or 5 years. Skip talked about three things. Bashing LeBron,
yep.
Tom Brady, and,
and
the Dallas Cowboys. Folks get tired of that nonsense. It's
ridiculous.
Oh, and don't forget Tom Brady. He can't talk Tom Brady
no more.
His girlfriend.
Yeah. Tom Brady, Dak, and LeBron. Come on.
And
that's why
they is dying on the football field being a problem.
Yeah,
they need to drag him off so
that
we can keep the game going. He can talk about that.
Yeah, that was a killer. And that's what was the last straw for Shannon Sharpe. Said, you can't do that to people.
But Stephen A. Kiss's ass said, that's my friend. He did a Terrell Owens. That's my friend. Skip Bayless, I'm not going to do nothing bad about him. Give me my shot. That's my quarterback.
Rich.
I'm sorry.
Rich. I'm going to tell you something, Rich.
That's my quarterback.
When Terrell said that, I had my cameras on him. Right in front of him when he said that. I got that story in the studio.
I'm going, I said,
what's he trying to, this is a co-proper man? Come on. Stop. My quarterback. Get out of here.
Oh, God. I hate you guys. Y'all have too much fun. I'm so jealous.
He's ridiculous, man.
I hate you, Mike. I hate you.
Well,
Mike, you're the cash cow.
It's good to have fun and get paid. And, you know, Shannon didn't get it, and he earned it. But you know what? Shannon didn't get it on a humbug. Shannon forced him to pay attention to him.
True.
As a matter of fact,
very, very
I
true.
Forget when I forget the game. I forget the incident. All I know is Shannon was pissed, and he was on CBS. He was on their panel, and he got hot. It was racially oriented. I'm trying to remember the incident, and I can't. Old age, whatever. But Dan Marino was as white as a sheet, and Boomer Esiason shut the hell the fuck up. And the next thing you know, it was like Shannon had the floor. And for the next 45 seconds to a minute, everybody just, like, they clammed up. Somebody said, oh, my God. And some other TV exec said, yeah, we want more of this. And Shannon got his own spot.
Well, I can tell you now, two things looking trying to get together now. They're trying to see, weighing the time frame on Michael Irvin to see what's going to happen there.
Okay, what is the truth about him? He on probation or what?
They got a legal case that's in they're still dealing with. And right now, from what I sense, he's going to win because of the fact that there's some witnesses inside the hotel said he didn't do nothing. You know, she walked over him. And he was ready to walk away.
Why did the NFL Network and everybody jump so quick to the Cannon's ass?
Well, you know, because it's a white woman.
It's because it's an Arizona.
Exactly right.
It was a white woman.
That's the second time.
Irvin didn't learn his lesson being in Texas. Don't mess with white girls. It was Singlet under Landry,
correct.
And then Johnson came in. Johnson came in under Monsieur Jones. same. The rule is still the same. Leave white girls alone.
Well, that's the truth.
Kissing,
people,
especially in public. And he didn't do it.
People forget. They tried to get Michael before when a Dallas police situation stoked this woman, Nina Sharafan, who was a prostitute. She tried to hook up Eric Williams and Michael Irvin in a so-called cocaine sting.
Mm-hmm.
They almost got Mike and Eric, who actually I interviewed later on in Hawaii that year. He said, yeah, they were trying to get me. You know, they blew it. They were so bad wanting to get Mr. A, they forgot about Mr. B. And they weren't consistent with what they said. They just thought circumstantial would be enough to take care of the situation. These brothers who have money, they need to understand just how much money you have. Because you don't have enough to fight the police. You don't have enough to fight City Hall.
Here's what you do. And they do it in politicians. Mike, you are no entity, money established, whole nine yards. Some white woman comes talking to you. You say, hold up, sweetheart. XYZ over here. Somebody, just like we go in the locker room, Mike, when they start interviewing somebody, what happens? Two people come up and listen to you.
That's right.
They got to do the same. They got the same thing in the street. You know, as soon as the white woman come in, all right, come on, what you want to talk about? Well, why they got to be here? Oh, because they're going to hear the conversation. That one you cover. Mike was
there. You go.
Because we know, and Mike, if you go in any pro locker room, particularly with the Giants and Jets, and the Jets in particular, they got 5 junior seconds around listening to what you got to say. I got set one time. No, I sat in the Giants locker room one time talking to what's his name? Play with the Redskins. Play with Penn State. Anyway, he's on the Fox Network now. Anyway, I had to talk to him, and I mentioned the name of a young lady. Oh, he said, yeah, give her my number, because they were at the Penn State together. And I was trying to contact because he's an athlete. He wanted to get in contact with me about some business that he wanted to do. So I had two executives. I said, well, you can't take personal information. So he stepped and said, I'm giving it to you. You don't like it, get the fuck out the way. So that's what you got to do to protect yourself.
Yeah. That's right. It's like everybody is your friend until you show or even give the impression that there may be some impropriety. And the next thing you know, they put the clamps on your ass. I've seen that in locker rooms. I've experienced that in locker rooms. I experienced that specifically in Vancouver when I was covering the Grizzlies and these so-called Christian athletes. These white boys want to come here and talk about how God has changed their life. Didn't know nothing about no basketball. Didn't play no basketball. None of the athletes and acting, none of that horse shit. They were trying to scam. And they got busted and got mad because I busted them. It's like Negroes, white folks, they get on your fucking nerves because everybody's trying to escape. You know, you can't be about knowing your subject matter. And unfortunately, we are past subject matter. We're making sure that the gates are shuttered and closed so that you can't even get in the damn door. Don't matter how much background you have, don't matter how much experience you have. It's like, if you're not already in, you ain't getting in.
That's a thing, and that's definitely in the locker room, man. And now more than ever. Now more than ever, you know, they're vetting locker rooms now. I told you it's the worst I've seen when I went to the NCAAs, man. You know, they're hardly no brothers there. The time, Mike, when we met years ago, at least he had them scattered around the place. Now, bruh,
yep,
it's rough. It's really rough.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Sundays, we cover games at the Meadowlands. And the Jets and the Giants were like two different worlds.
The Giants got the brothers.
The Giants, they owe money. They owe money, and all the old school contacts of people were there. If you were press, you got in. But if you're a photographer, you had to come in through a separate entrance, and you couldn't eat. There was a section downstairs where
they threw a few
sandwiches around. I remember my friend Tak McKee from Japan had to come down there and go there. He came up at halftime, but he couldn't eat. The Jets were like, come on, everybody get on in there. We don't care because we want everybody talking about us. And the Jets weren't very good, in all honesty, but they were included.
And you know why, don't you? Mike, you know why? Because the owner wanted it that way.
True that.
And that changed when your boy Woody Johnson came in. Oh, that changed.
Oh, yeah.
Hess said, let everybody come. He let him, if you have a decent drink, have a decent drink, he'll let you in. He's going to feel, they're treating you okay, you all right? Let me know. Now, and Woody Johnson won't even speak to you.
Yep.
If you don't think you're important.
Too busy trying to work out a deal with Trump.
Please. And all them punk-ass junior executives he got. Oh, they get on my nerves. Talking about junior executives to the hilt. Please.
You're right about that. But to bring it back to where we were with the Saudis, Fred hit it right on the head. It's like the Saudis did damage. The Americans shouldn't know the extent of the damage the Saudis did. And now they've come in here to buy up the PGA. They bought them. You know, it's not like the game's going to be like, you know, this is the NFL, NFL, and today's game is the San Francisco Sheik versus the Chicago Camels. It's like we're just putting this up, and the whites jumped on it. Of course, how you going to turn away free money? Which is basically what it was.
Sure enough. And their purse is going to go five times more than they're making now? Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah. But.
And like I said.
Gary, here's something to think about. All right. Let's eliminate Ja from the equation as far as who would be the successor for LeBron.
Oof.
Think about it. Who would be next in line? Who do you think could do everything that LeBron did? Who do you think can handle, could carry themselves in such department that nobody has to worry about anything other than going to the bank and cash and checks?
I thought it was going to be Tim Curry, but they already tried to make it, so I can't tell you.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good one, actually.
I thought it was going to be Tim Curry, but after the recent episodes, I was here happy to know.
Well, Mike, quite frankly, Steph Curry is a place of basketball now.
True. But we're talking transitory now. I mean, everybody knows whatever or however long LeBron plays, whether it's a year or 2 years, he's done. He doesn't have to represent the league any longer, and he really can't. Steph, they show his face a little bit more. He's got spots. He's doing those stupid commercials with Kevin Hart.
He's still making money for it. Mike, I think the next person is going to be, quite frankly, in time, this big French kid from over in France.
That kid
has potential. If he stays healthy and gets strength, He will be.
Oh, okay.
He will be somebody that the network. Matter of fact, the networks are already now planning next year's games, and mm-hmm. based upon now you haven't seen the San Diego Spurs in national TV in a couple of years. You'll see him next year about 5-6 times. He stay heavy. That kid is something special, and particularly the matchup when him and the 7'4" kid from the Grizzlies get the white kid from the Grizzlies get together when they play against each other. Oh yeah, that might be the Christmas game.
Oh okay, we'll see. There's something to look forward to. The league wants continuity, you know, and you can't have
continuity. No, the league wants white boys.
That's true too.
Yeah, well, that's why I said the league wants continuity. They can't get it from the brothers because they don't want to give it to the brothers. And anytime the brothers in a position for that, they drop it because I believe they got any common sense. Something my mother used to accuse me of not having any of.
And Mike, let me add some more sauce to this. Another reason I think that kid from France is going to do well. The global market is wide open.
That's another good point. Yes, sir.
A white guy I know, I've been knowing him my life. He's one of Trump's boys, but I've known him my life. We still talk. And he was talking about, Patrick, I don't want my kid to be a basketball more. I said, I told him, you ain't got to. He said, what do you mean? I said, they watch enough basketball in China and India. Yep. The cover, you not watching.
Right,
don't
that.
Need you.
That's right.
Those are the new markets they're trying to open up.
Oh yeah,
China.
Yeah.
And they've pretty well got China open because mm-hmm. they've had Chinese players here, and mm-hmm. some of them were actually fairly good. India, I don't know what they're going to do about that. I haven't seen some bad haircuts and stuff, but I haven't seen any.
The Indian market's open. Yeah, Indian market's open. You know why, Fred?
But that's a billion people.
Yeah. They like the game. Oh,
that's
they got
a lot of
players.
TV.
And just to show you all, I am not biased. I have actually sat and watched several games of cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell I saw.
I'm with you.
Tell me what.
And Fred, you know something? Here in Jersey City, man, every Sunday they got cricket from 12 to about 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
folks
I know.
Watch.
They have this thing here at some time of the year, but there's a park. It has sort of become the cricket pitch, whatever they call it.
Yep.
And get this, most of the people who play are doctors or medical professionals or professors
yep.
at Federal State or Methodist College here. And one in particular, he actually teaches at Federal. He's one of the high-tech teachers at Federal Tech, which is now basically
mm-hmm.
a junior college. But in the Jamaicans, oh God!
Mm-hmm.
They talk some trash. And get this, you don't know necessarily what they're saying, but they talk some big trash.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they're being nice. But gentlemen, you got a certain Cornell, Dr. Cornell West, saying I'm going to be the next president of the United States. I'm running third party. I'm like, Negro, shut the hell up. Is this a Ralph Nader move?
Reg, I was talking about something like that. And going, I'm going, and I've been with Cornell West. A nice brother. The brother is on point. But ain't you got something else to do, man? Really, you got something else to do?
Just tell the brother to get a haircut. That's all I want. I mean, you know, the Frederick Douglass look is not going to get it. The Frederick Douglass look is not going to get it. I'm sorry.
That's a trademark.
I'm sorry, Professor. I'm sorry.
Rich, it's just like Chris Christie went from Chris Christie went from. My sister called.
Oh, no.
Is that before he eat donuts?
He
can be drinking that big gulp like he did.
finally
did, did you all see Chris Christie when he came out to make his announcement? I'm almost 70 years old, and I could probably run as fast as far as he can, and that is not fast, not far.
Did he have a Shoney's big boy in his hand and a big gulp again?
Nah, he has to have somebody to carry that for him.
Let me tell you about my guys here. I've been since I was in high school who's connected with the fellas. He said, Patrick, because he hates, and he's a Republican, he hates Chris Christie. He said, Krispy Kreme. He said, look, if FanDuel and DraftKings, they won't put a line on him running for president, because that's how man, they don't want to lose that much money, him trying to run. That's bad.
The trying to run.
Because he can't win New Jersey at all. If you can't win your home state, you're done.
He kept throwing harpoons at him.
The first thing they're gonna show that picture at his home down South Jersey with him on the beach. That's gonna be the killer.
Yeah,
that's gonna be the killer.
There she blows.
See, what you all are missing is you all do know that when you run for office like that, and once you close your campaign down, that's money. The money that's in there is yours.
For sure.
That's why he has been running ever since. His campaign has not closed down.
If you make millions of dollars, God bless you. I ain't mad at you.
And the reason that he does Krispy Kremes, I can't argue with that. But gentlemen, we are at the hour where it's time to close up shop. Reggie, set it off, please.
You know, I hear both sides talking about gun violence, but nobody's talking about poverty. If you look down where the Honorable Dr. King was assassinated, Memphis, Tennessee is one of the poorest areas down there. And the sad thing about it is that I hear politicians talk a good game, but all of them serve their masters very well, including the females. I really long for the Bob Jordans, the Maxine Waters, and some of the outspoken people that at least try to do the right thing. But with this Saudi money coming in with the golf course, Patrick can tell you, if you think deals were cut on the golf course support and country club,
Lord,
hang on to your seats, because you ain't seen nothing yet.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, some food indeed. And likely be able to get indigestion from some of the conversations that will go along those lines. Patrick, come on.
Real quickly, football season is beginning to start, and I'm starting to outline some children to be doing in the fall. But I'll say this already. I'm not a fan of this team, but it shows the redundancy and a flat lack of creativity by these producers. They already start talking about that for next year.
Wow.
Yep. You ain't got nothing else to talk about what Dak Prescott going to do? It's June. Give me a freaking break. It's a big league. There's a lot going on. And some good stories going on. And I'm an executive producer. This is what you're going to give me? I mean, so it's already starting already. The craziness and trying to beat the guy up. I mean, come on. Give me a break. And lastly, this for Fred. Fred, the Pittsburgh Pirates playing some good ball.
They're missing up our system. They should have a list of players. The 4th of July is only less than a month away.
They're playing pretty well, man. I think they're going to be buyers this year. They're playing pretty good.
They don't know what to do. They're going to have to go break out some old Willie Sargent and Dave and you know, the nine blacks on the field and all that kind of stuff.
Managing.
Managing games, throwing guys out from his knees.
Yeah. They're playing pretty well. They're playing pretty well.
Oh, Lord. Professor, if you will.
Well, see, I hate to come behind that with the way he shocked me with that. But anyway, you know, we got a lot of issues here in this country that is, and I still say it's up to people like us to not only converse about them, we got to find ways to do something about them. And one of the ways we got to reattach ourselves to parts of our history that we've neglected over the years.
I
had a meeting with a gentleman a few days ago on Zoom, and then we had we talked Monday night, and you know he was expressing some things about, and I told him point blank, we got to tell our own story. So we put our heads together on something, and we're going to be doing the history of a written history of Lomborg Institute. If those don't know, that's a place people like Charlie Scott and Sam Jones went to school there, along with a number of others. But you know, it's bigger. It's much bigger than that. Because I'm going to have him. I'm going to sit down and devote a day to just his parents and grandparents. Because this school was put together by a man who had just graduated from high school, who was 18, and his wife, who was 17. She had just graduated from high school. And we're going into the 120th anniversary next year, and there's some things we're going to do. And we're just going to, and the best way to say it is, it's going to be a renaissance for that school because it was damaged in one of our most recent hurricanes about 4 years ago. It's been a struggle getting it back on its feet. But I think we've hit on something that will be a blessing to him, them, and the institution, as well as bringing back together some of the people who've done the road, because quiet as it's kept, not only did black folks build their own system of two and four-year colleges, it also built a lot of high schools. And out of that, and there's only four of them that are still truly viable. But North Carolina, we had 243 all-black high schools. Of that 243, only seven are still operational, and only one is in black hands. Because Charlotte Mecklenburg is not black, nor is Cumberland County, Fable Cumberland County, black. Mm-hmm. And then in Winston-Salem, we had two. One of which is always walking distance from Winston-Salem State. It was a good idea, it was a great idea, but now we just got to put boots on the ground and get it all built up.
All right. www.blackhistory. You can't say much more than telling our own stories. And Black History Review. History. Things to remember, things to forget, things we can't forget. All those things come together. The professor does a great job of archiving it all, putting it out here, and giving us something to talk about where we can look at all sides of something rather than one side of something. Professor, if it hasn't been said before, well done. Gary.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Come on with it.
This weekend, Jacob DeGrom got surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, baseball better watch itself because this year, the splitter ball and the curveball come back. These two pitches are killer.
what you get. Oh, yeah. That's almost like the perfect half-hour album. I love that every track on that album, I've never skipped. And I used to play that album to death.
Mike, by the way, Gary, I'm sorry about the about your athletics, because L.A. don't put the money on the stadium, man. They give me the break ground.
Oh, shit.
Las
sorry,
Vegas.
Jim.
Sorry about that.
What in the name of Vida Blue are they going to do? I guess we'll have to stay tuned. But the old NFL is calling me when I think about this next situation, because all the specials they used to do, the features, one of my very favorites is called The Gift of Grab. It was a long time ago, talking about guys who can catch. And one of the best hands, or pair of hands, I ever saw was on that of DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins has what I call neighborhood hands. If the ball's in his neighborhood, it's going to get caught. And he had one fool in Houston who decided that because he had baby mamas instead of a wife or a girlfriend, he wasn't a solid citizen. Well, he's going to get paid. If my Eagles are paying attention, sign his head. If Patrick Mahomes is looking for another weapon to replace the cheetah, sign his ass. Either way, the best hands in the league belong with a Super Bowl ring on its finger.
But Mike, you're going to take the pay cut.
Exactly.